Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming live on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Alba. It is Friday, the 27th of January, 2023. Thank you, Terry Barr, for that outstanding introduction. Great to have you along with us, each and every one of you, to hear you say live from Richland Center. And we are here at the WRCE studios in Richland Center, my hometown, here over the weekend. Well, maybe I will stay over the weekend, but I'm here to last night for the UW Richland Town Hall meeting. And I got cut off there before I went to the last break because I wasn't keeping track of my time there. And there's a little bit of whenever we're on the road, there's something goofy going on with our Zoom connection because I can't hear the music when Aaron pops it up. It's not Aaron's fault. It's just a goofy connection. So I didn't know that we were going to break. So I apologize, Aaron. That's on me.
Yet another technical issue that will be fixed once we move locations here in Madison, which is coming up soon. I don't know. We don't have a date yet, but soon.
We're rewiring everything. So there's basically going to be a direct feed between Richland Center and Madison. So I can be here and you can pop me up just like a mic in Madison, student to be. Mr. Zalmers, how are you today, by the way?
I'm good. I'm very frustrated. I don't understand how these people sleep at night. Like maybe how much blackmail or how much money do you have to be paid to be willing to let a community's like one of the primary sources of income and I guess tourism and like culture and everything just die and be fine with that and not say anything about it?
I get that, but I'm not accusing anybody of directly being blackmailed or taking money.
Oh, yeah. I'm just spitballing, trying to come up with reasons somebody would be willing to do that.
I'm just saying, I mean, does somebody want a job after they leave the legislature? Is it just the fact that Republicans, as we've talked about on this show before, have essentially declared a war on education in general, higher education and public education? I mean, I can't figure out the reason. But and I'm not sure how much of this you got before we went to break and I got cut off in the last segment. But what needs to happen is what's clear to me from being out here, from listening, and now talking to Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz and Jeff Barrant face-to-face and seeing their reaction when I talked. Let me make it clear. I think Tony Kurtz, from what I know and what I see, State Representative Tony Kurtz, he seems like a decent guy. I think he's trying in his own way. I'm going to take him at face value. I'm going to take him at his word that he wasn't told about this closure until the day before the public found out. I'll take him at his word. But if that's true, and we're going to say it is, then somebody's head on a roll at UW System, because that is malfeasance, malpractice at nearly the highest level. Because having worked for a state legislator and having worked for a United States congressman, the thing that will get you in trouble the quickest, besides breaking some sort of a rule or doing something illegal, the next thing will get you in trouble the fastest is having your boss be surprised. Having them walk into a meeting and somebody else knows more than your boss does. Having your boss find out about something in the papers or from a media person before you told him. And if it's your job to keep your boss informed, you darn better well do it. Jeff Barrant, my friend, I still call him my friend, Democrat for former majority leader Bob Jauch, knows the building and the institution better than anybody else. Jeff Barrant learned from one of the masters of parliamentary procedure and how the legislature operates. And Bob Jauch, he's a great guy, a fine senator. Jeff Barrant knows the game plan. And he is now making oodles of money, at least $150,000, if not $200,000 a year, of taxpayer money as the vice president of university relations. And his number one job is to keep the legislature informed of what the president and the system is doing. And it appears that he did not tell the vice or the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Howard Markwein, nor State Representative Tony Kurtz, that system was closing the campus in their own district until the day before. And that doesn't bother Tony Kurtz? That doesn't bother Howard Markwein? I've never heard anything like that. So either they're telling the truth and they don't care, or there's more to the story. I also said to Tony Kurtz last night, state representative, I said, Representative Kurtz, it doesn't bother you that there's an investigation going on right now at UW-Platteville for a missing $1 million in the foundation fund? And he just looked at me. I said, Representative Kurtz, it doesn't bother you that former Chancellor Dennis Shields at UW-Platteville is accused of having an inappropriate relationship with one of his top staffers, Rose Smirsky? And he looked at me like, how did you know about that? These are questions, folks, we got to keep answering. And we're going to talk later on in the show more about it with Vice Chair of Richland County Board, Sean Murphy Lopez. We're going to switch gears, talk a little bit about sports with Phil Nee here at WRCO, WRCE Richland Center, and also talk a little bit about his show, Those Were the Days. Come back after this. Stay with us. We are live in the RC at WRCE Richland Center. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Year. So let me hear you good and loud. All right, Gary. A one, a two, a three. Hey, we are two.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Time is now 9:15 on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Harry Carey there, original Harry Carey. Not Will Ferrell's Harry Carey. Do you ever think the moon might be made of cheese? I love that from Saturday Night Live. Welcome back. We are here live in our studios at WRCE, my old stomping ground here in Richland Center. And it's finally good to be back in this building. And we are joined by station manager WRCE, WRCO, and a longtime friend, a guy who taught me everything I know, whether he wants to admit it or not, Phil Nee.
Don't blame me.
You did it.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to be here, Todd.
It's good to see you. It's good to, and you know, I was saying, I think yesterday, this is the first time I've ever got to broadcast. I mean, I was on Those Were the Days for a guest spot a couple of times a few years ago in this building, but I worked with you, started 36 years ago back in our old building down in the valley that got a little wet a couple of times.
Yes, it did.
Flooded. So how long have you guys been up here?
We've been here since 2010. All right. The other building, you know, was built in 1949.
Yeah.
Got flooded out twice in the late 2010s because the things had kind of changed in terms of the dike in downtown Richland Center and relocated water, a lot more water at the outset. It saved the town, but it ruined the radio station, basically.
True. Very, very true.
Right.
And you and Ron... I mean, you literally, for folks that aren't aware of, or might be listening in Wausau, Amory, or other places. So the old radio station was right next to the Pine River down in kind of a valley.
Yep.
And the actual antenna and the shack, if you want to call it, for the transmitter are up on a big hill overlooking Richland Center, Tower Hill. And so you guys actually were broadcasting right from the tower and the shack up on top of the hill for how many days?
We did it for a couple of days before we were able to relocate downtown. We moved everything downtown, but basically it was me and Aaron Joyce, who was our newsman at the time. Uh-huh. We basically just camped out in the transmitter shack and we had one microphone, you know, and we had one phone, because going to the transmitter, you just have one phone line. Right. So it was like, please call us for emergencies only. And then the next call would be, yeah, can I request Blake Shelton?
They had a cot, a granola bar, and a Sears catalog. And that was
about all it was.
For an outhouse up there.
But we stayed on the air. But
you did.
Yeah. And I was at the old building. They kicked everybody out, and the water was coming up, and Ron was in the back. They were sandbagging, and I was trying to stay on the air, and all of a sudden, water rushes into the trench and shorts everything out. Oh, I guess we're done.
Stayed on as long as... You guys, in all seriousness, I mean, the community really relied on you guys, and you did a fantastic job, as you always do. And I appreciate everything you've always done for me over the years and the opportunities. And now we get to work together again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good to be back with you. I'm glad that you're back in the your first love, the medium that you grew up with, right?
I told people I was trying to decide whether I should take this gig, and Phil and I were sitting out on his deck, and he said, well, you know, they say you never forget your first love, but radio was your first love. And you're right. So it's been fun. So still trying to get the rust out of the pipes a little bit, but we're getting there little by little. You're also, I mean, I've said this before, all the civic media stations, I think it's a horse race between you and Chad Holmes up at Bull Falls Radio. The two of you are probably the hardest working on-air personalities in civic media, because not only do you have your daily show, you've got Those Were the Days and Backtracking on the weekends on Saturday nights, and which, by the way, you can listen to on the civic media app on WRCO, 7 to midnight on...
6.
Six
to midnight. Oh, yeah. It's been six for a
while. It's the COVID brain. I can't remember. So 6 until midnight on Saturdays. But then you also do, like Chad Holmes, a variety of high school sports as well. And you do it. I was listening last night. You were in Lancaster.
Yes.
And then on the air bright and early at 5 o'clock this morning.
3:50 a.m. alarm.
Oh,
so I can't speak for Chad, but you do it because you love it.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, the first person that comes in and applies for a job and, you know, they're, you know, well, I don't want to work nights and weekends. And if I'm done at 5, I'm done at 5. I'm out the door. Then we probably aren't interested in it. We want somebody that loves radio, and you pretty much have to love it. I call us radio geeks, and I think we are.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I mean, when I was back in high school and college, I'd come down and help out of Those the Days pulling records for you. Yes, we had records at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't getting paid for that. I just did it because I loved hanging out. I loved learning.
Yeah, and it was fun.
It was great fun.
It was a party every night.
It really was, and some of the best memories of my life, and it was great. Speaking of high school sports, an icon, not just in Southwest Wisconsin, but in basketball, high school basketball history across the state. Big news, Phil, yesterday.
Yeah, Jerry Pettigrew, longtime coach at Cuba City, announced that after this season, he will retire. And this guy, I mean, he is known statewide, probably across the country. Yeah. He went over 1,000 wins last year in his career. And some of the numbers, I pulled them up here. 1,019 wins, because he won last night over Boscobel.
Very good.
266 losses, 79% winning. He's been at Cuba City 52 years. And he started, here's a little trivia for you. He started at Gratiot High School, which is no longer in existence.
I didn't know that.
Can you think why his very first game that he was going to be the head coach, his very first game was canceled? Can you think why that might have been?
Kennedy assassination.
Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
November 22nd, 1963 was his first head coaching gig with Gratiot High School, and it was canceled because John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Wow.
So that puts into perspective how long this guy has been doing this. Unbelievable.
That's a what a career. And one of my former colleagues, actually from the Capitol, is originally from Cuba City, who I think played for Jerry Pettigrew, and just speaks about what a community guy, not just a basketball coach, but what a community guy is. And you've interviewed him a few times, Phil, over the years.
Many times, you know, and of course, our team, he's not a school. His school isn't a school that we cover in our local area, but we see him all the time because they're in Richland Center and River Valley's conference. And so I would see him 3 or 4 times a year. And one of my favorite stories of him is he really appreciates the local media. So his team wins the state championship in 1991 at the old field house.
Yep.
And WRCO was covering the games. And I went down afterwards, and they don't have a luxurious press area like they do now at the Kohl Center. It was kind of small, but he did a little news conference. And afterwards they opened it up. They said, okay, any media. So they had like all of the papers were there. The three Madison television stations were there. Uh-huh. Said, we'll open it up, coach, for you to do some interviews. And he looked out, and here I was in the back with my little cassette tape recorder. And he said, hey, I'll talk to Phil first. He's been covering us all year. And all these guys looked like, who's this yokel? And it was me. And I got to, you know, and I mean, I've never forgotten that because, you know, he knew that I covered him during the year and he appreciated that. And so as a result, he was probably one of the guys in 2018. I was named WBA media person and of the year. And I'm sure he had a big part of that. So I appreciate that.
But isn't it cool when a guy isn't just talented with what he does on the basketball court, but he's just a great person like that. And he remembers, you know, the small station, the reporter that isn't on a Madison station. I mean, he takes care of the people back home.
Right. Yeah. Remembers where he came from. Yeah. And, you know, the others are there, you know, they're everybody's there to do a job, but they don't cover him, you know, for his 24 game season or whatever. And, you know, we read all the scores every day and everything else. So
I mean, I turned 53 in October. So he was coaching a year after. Since then, year after, I mean, that's incredible.
Right. Right.
And the thing is, it isn't like he's just mailing it in. Like he won last night.
Yeah, he won last night. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not like they're just keeping him around for the sake of, well, we can't get rid of Jerry. I mean, he's a talented guy.
And anybody that's ever walked into the Cuba City gymnasium, for any opposing school walking in there, it's got to be intimidating because you walk in and you walk, as you're walking down the hall, they have this glass trophy case of all the gold balls and silver balls won in boys and girls basketball because Jeff Bustina was there a long time too. Yeah. And they won girls championships at Cuba City or were runner up or, you know, state participants. And Jerry looks the same. I've said there are pictures of all the teams, you know, you could take his head and like put it on like every single year. He looks the same as he did back in like 1980.
Jerry Pettigrew, the Dick Clark of high school basketball. He hasn't aged a bit. Unlike Todd, who's, you know, not looking so great, but you know, like he's a tremendous guy. And I think, you know, that's one of the great things that you've always done for as long as I've known you as a sports broadcaster, a local person. Give credit to Ron Fruit and Beth for being the owners. During their tenure, they focused on high school sports. You've been the announcer and the interviewer for all those years. And it's one of the things I'm really happy that Civic Media is going to continue under their ownership. And I've said this once, I'll say it again, because I get the advantage of overhearing some of this stuff when I'm down to the mothership. I mean, Civic Media looks to what you folks do here at WRCO, and they want to replicate that across the state. And I think the commitment to high school sports is something that's unique. Not every radio station's doing it anymore. And I think it provides a great service to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And when my first meeting with Mike Crute after Civic bought WRCO, my first question was, are we still going to do high school sports? I wasn't even asking, do I have a job or whatever? That is so important. And that's how I think high school sports has led to successes for us in other things because we're out in the community at other area events, but we see, you know, and we get to know these people. And I'm on my second, soon be third generation of calling sports.
Really?
Kids of kids right now are playing, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it won't be long. It'll be probably grandkids.
Well, I heard you last night. One of the kids, I think, for Lancaster's last name was Raisbeck. And I worked with a guy named Tom Raisbeck, originally from Lancaster, who now long since married, probably in his 30s. But I think, you know, those family generational names and to see that from your perspective, to see the kids of kids play like that has to be incredible.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. And it's funny because you can go, somebody mentions a last name and I can tell you probably what school district they're from because it's generally generational, you know. Like if it's Timmerman, it's probably Cuba City. And as you mentioned, Raisbeck, that would be a good name in Lancaster. Lancaster area. And around here, Clary's, that would be like probably an Ithaca name, you know, and Richland Center. We've had quite a few over the years. Ewing's, you know, probably would be one that comes to mind. And
I think between you and RCO sports announcer for wrestling, Bill Twining, the two of you could probably sit down and write a history of high school sports in this part of the state.
We probably could give it a shot. Bill's even he has a better memory than I do. I think if you quizzed him on the mascots of school too, he would do really well there.
So we played this a while back when Mike Leach passed away. But he went through at a press conference and named off the top of his head they asked him who would win a mascot war, the Pac-12. And he went through everyone. And why they would win or why they would win. It was hilarious.
Yeah. And it's a little tougher because some have changed to be more politically correct.
Oh, right.
So I would probably get some of those wrong because I don't know what the new ones are. I just remember having seen them over the years. And And wrestling is a big sport because you could have, you know, probably 100 mascots there in the, right, of all the divisions and all the schools represented.
You have time to stick around for one more little bit?
Can do another
all right,
round.
Cool. We're going to take a break here, come back, talk a little bit of Billy Packer, a longtime broadcaster on CBS, passed away at the age of 82. Talk a minute about that. And then a little bit about Those Were the Days, what's coming up this Saturday. That's tomorrow right here on the Civic Media Network on WRCO. We are live at Richland Center at WRCE. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Friday here, although Aaron, I forgot the mimosas. I didn't leave you anything. So we may have to do coffee Friday or water Friday or something like that.
I didn't think of it either.
we can still be thankful, Thor. Come on, baby, light my fire. That's little do you know, having worked here for on and off for 36 years, that's actually, there's a small group of singers that serenade that to Phil when he walks in the studio each and every Saturday night.
My walk-up song.
We are talking to the station manager and host of Those Were the Days of Saturdays, Mr. Philip James Nee. Let's talk a little Billy Packer. I showed it during the break for those watching on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube or whatever. This mug, this CBS mug, I got in 1988 when I went out to New York with my friend Carrie Anderson, now Carrie Anderson Pink. And I somehow, as a high school kid, I finagled my way in saying I was working for a CBS affiliate, which is true.
You were.
And they gave us a tour.
Cool.
Of Black Rock. And so we bought that, and I was so proud I brought it back, and I used it here at RCO nearly every shift, and somehow it survived all the moves, and here it is, home again, back at WRCE.
There it is.
Here, we used to be a CBS affiliate. Some of our stations on Civic Media still are, but yeah, great members. Speaking of CBS, the great broadcaster Billy Packer passed away yesterday at the age of 82, the Emmy Award-winning college basketball broadcaster, covered 34 Final Fours for both NBC and CBS, died Thursday, apparently of a kidney failure. His son, Mark Packer, who still has a show on Sirius XM, used to have this great show called Off Campus. And then I don't know what the heck happened. Sirius took him off. They got a couple of Yahoos on there now. But he still has a show on the evenings for the ACC network on Sirius XM. Mark Packer does. But Billy Packer was on both NBC and CBS, covered 34 Final Fours. I loved him, Phil. Do you remember watching Billy Packer on CBS?
Absolutely do. Yeah. And again, just a quality broadcaster and just a lot of class.
Right.
A lot of those guys from that era certainly did.
Of course, he had Al McGuire for several years from Wisconsin.
Yes.
Did those broadcasts. So I love it. At the end here, they're talking about a lot of people just didn't like Billy Packer, thought he was biased and everything. And his son, Mark, wrote this yesterday. He said, as a kid, I was a big NC State fan growing up, but I would catch a game and the next day I'd be like, boy, you sure have it out for NC State, don't you? And he'd just laugh. Younger Packer, who was the host, he goes on to say that, said that most fans felt the same way about his father. He said, quote, he would cover North Carolina game and the Tar Heel fans would be like, you hate North Carolina, Packer said. Wake Forest fans would be like, you hate us. And Billy just sort of got a kick out of that. I mean, people would be all over him, but he honestly didn't give a crap.
He probably didn't. You know, probably Green Bay Packer fans can relate to that because they always have a fit when Troy Aikman and Joe Buck do the games. And I myself have kind of felt a little bit like that sometimes.
I was going to say, have you ever had people like a broadcast that you did say, oh, you're a homer
no,
for one team?
No, that's the greatest compliment that I think that I've ever had. And I've had that a few times. They're like, we can't tell who you're rooting for.
Wow, that's a great compliment.
That's one of my critiques of play-by-play people. I mean, it's one thing, you got the team you're following. I get it. You're going to get really excited when they do something well. But especially in this day and age with the internet and people can hear you no matter where. I think it sounds bad when you're just like a homer and how can we win with these reps against us and seven against five? It's not fair. And you know, those kind of things. Just if the other team does something well, I give them kudos, you know, and that's the way it goes. But when the Packers play lots of times, even though there's a delay, I'll turn on Wayne and Larry because I'd rather hear those guys do it from
that perspective. Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know, Larry gets a little biased, but that's fine. He was a player, and I don't mind that.
I've actually interviewed Larry before, too. I like Larry, but he still talks over the play-by-play guy all the time. You know, it's like, Rogers back to pass. Touchdown! You can't even hear what Wayne is saying, you know? So that'd be my critique there, but they wouldn't listen to me. I mean, who's going to listen to some yahoo in Richland Center? You know?
I told the story thing before, but while I was working here, of course, the Packers were not like they are now back in the 80s. And you had, the play-by-play guy before the Packers.
I want to say Earl Gillespie, but no.
that was a few years. Jim Irwin.
I interviewed Jim about a year before he died.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I saw him at a WBA
event. Wow.
And I got talking to him, telling him, you know, I just loved his play-by-play because he used to do Badgers,
right,
Bucks,
right. Yeah.
And Packers. I mean, he did everything.
Incredible.
Yeah, he really was. So had a great interview with him. And the last game was the Packers' defeat in the second Super Bowl with Favre. Right. So I think it would have been like the 98 Super Bowl. That was his last game.
Wow.
Yep. He and Max.
Yeah, Max McGee. Always had a couple of little sauce sometimes. It's always been interesting, or so he said. But I remember one of the games back in the 80s, 87, 80, I can't remember when, or maybe it was 90, but there was a game, and I think it was against Tampa Bay, and the Packers, and I don't think won all year, and Chris Jackie went up for a field goal to win it. And I was back in the days where you had to have somebody here to quote-unquote engineer the game.
Right.
And Jim Irwin's called, and he said, the snap is down, the kick is up, and... He made it. Oh, my God, he made it. It was like unbelievable. The Packers are actually going to win.
Exactly. And I am fearful that we're going to be back in those mediocre days.
So, yes.
One of these days.
Is Rodgers going? It's $59.5 million.
I know.
Why would you want to go anywhere else?
I don't know, but I'm getting kind of tired of it.
Every
off season, you know, really. But I'm not one of those fans that's like, we got to move on to Jordan Love, because you in the NFL, rare occasion, San Francisco has a quarterback that's not a top tier quarterback right now. He's a young guy, but otherwise, you have to have a top tier quarterback in this league if you're going to win. Will Jordan Love be there? Maybe someday, but we're going to have to probably suffer a few years. That's what I'm thinking anyway.
these young folks that don't remember the old days.
Because I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I would always hear, well, back in the glory days. Well, I was too young to remember that. You know, I remember Jerry Tagge, and they traded for John Hadle, and, you know.
Jerry Mandrich. That was going to be a thing.
Who? Tony Mandrich.
Or Tony Mandrich.
The worst draft pick of all time. They could have had several other players, including Barry Sanders.
But no,
it was picked third. Tony Mandrich, number one.
Yeah, Mandrich sandwich.
Yeah, and they paid for that for years. They were terrible. And you know, the same thing with the Badgers.
Yeah,
Badger football and basketball. We are so spoiled right now.
It's true.
It is.
And wow, Fickell at Wisconsin.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I don't. You know, I'm trying not to get too excited, but it could be a very exciting year this year.
You might actually have a passing game that's consistent. Right. You know, I mean,
and it's going to open up all kinds of running room for Braylon Allen.
Absolutely, that's exciting. That's what several Packer fans have told me, because I hear they're like, "Well, we're not even thinking of the Packers. We're so excited about the Badgers right now."
Yeah, I don't want to have the expectations too high, but I mean, it could be really interesting. Also, very interesting. Saturday night, those are the days, the longest running program in WRCO history, or at least close. I think it has to be, right?
Not longer than Prime. mover, the buy seller trade show. That's been on for 50 years.
But, I've been trying to explain to people on the Civic Media team exactly what prime mover is. And if you don't know it, you don't know it, right?
Right.
And so it's not only informative, not only can you buy, sell, or trade, but sometimes amazingly entertaining.
It's entertaining and it really works.
Yes.
My son, he's always tinkering with things and fixing stuff up and sells it. If he calls in to the radio show, so it's the original buy, sell, or trade, yes. Call in. Honestly, his phone blows up as soon as he gives
really?
It. Yeah, absolutely. It gets results.
It's better than Craigslist.
It is better
than the internet.
Exactly.
Old-fashioned radio, just call if you got something to buy, sell, or trade.
I'm not sure if it works as a dating service, but, I've never tried it. But.
What if we... Holy cow, Phil. You may be on something.
Maybe.
Maybe we got to do Todd's List, like Craigslist kind of thing.
Todd's List.
That'd be a very short list. but those are the days. Great radio program in the old-fashioned style of radio. Back when radio was live all the time and you had excitement. You bring that every Saturday night, Phil. Who are you profiling? What's up for tomorrow night's show?
Tomorrow night's show, we're doing songs about the mail, the U.S. mail. So we're going with songs such as
PS. I was getting excited for a minute. I thought M-A-L-E. But
No. U.S. Mail by Elvis Presley. Yeah, that would be good. That's M-A-L-E. Right. But P.S. I Love You, The Letter, In Your Letter by REO Speedwagon. Songs like that. The mail. Yes.
That's great. Ahead of Valentine's Day.
Yep. Just
mail your loved one a letter.
Exactly. Right, but it's a fun show to host. And as I've said before, it's a wide age group. So we get all kind of younger people listening now.
Isn't that cool?
And it is great. I mean, the thing is, they're discovering these songs through Stranger Things and different avenues. And they'll call and request like deep album tracks. And I'll be like, how do you know that? that really wasn't a hit, but hey, I'll play it.
So. I think it's interesting. I mean, so Aaron, you're 23 now, 24?
24, yeah.
24. So Aaron turned 24. And Aaron has a very good music mind. I mean, he can dial stuff up. I mean, you know things from way before you were born. But I mean, when we talk about oldies for your generation, what do you consider an oldie?
Anything that plays on oldie stations. So stuff like the Beatles.
Say Beatles? Okay, because I mean, I worked with people at my last job in the high school and in their early 20s in college, and they pick like a 1995 song.
I wouldn't call that
an oldie. Well, it's how many years ago? 20.
but no, it's true. I mean, how time changes and the perception of what an oldie is.
Right, exactly. I always put it in perspective like this. Now, a lot of songs that we listen to are 50 years old. Okay, in 1973, were we listening to songs from 1923? We weren't.
Right.
So songs from that era are a lot more timeless. When I go do games now at the high school, the warm-ups mostly are classic rock. And you know why? You know why? I've talked to some ADs and athletic directors about this, athletic directors and principals, I should say, because they don't have to worry about edited versions. At schools, you try to play something now, and... they're edited, but you can surely hear what they're going to say.
Yeah,
or whatever,
I haven't been to a lot of school dances, but I know there's one that I went to where they just played the fully unedited version of Rack City, and you could see the people glaring at the DJs. Like, the teachers were not pleased.
that DJ was not invited back.
I would assume.
They were not invited back.
He was cool, but
for a minute. I think that's great that it's a chance to expose younger generations to music that, I mean, you're not that much older than I am, but music that you and I grew up with were things. I mean, when I was out at the campus, my dad was athletic director, wrestling coach out there. And I remember, for some reason, I remember jumping on the trampoline as they watched the wrestling match, Fly, Robin, Fly.
A classic. Silver Convention, 1975.
Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road.
Loud Another, Green, Right the Third. There you go.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But these are crazy songs that I remember from growing up, and my dad would play them, and I thought that was great. But music, I've traveled quite a few places, and I think it's one thing, yes or no, Phil, I know you've traveled as well. Music unites us.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. And going to Europe few years ago, we walk into this cafe in Paris, and I walk in and the first song is Arthur Conley's Sweet Soul Music from 1967, you know, and I'm like, you know, okay. And I go into a record store because I collect records, and all of the record titles that I see are in English, and they're English bands and things like that. Incredible. Vinyl has helped bring it back to the younger generation.
Isn't that great?
It is. And I saw something somebody posted today, and this is really funny. They said, you will never remember the first download you ever had, but you'll remember the first record you ever bought, right?
That's so good, Phil.
And it's true.
It's so true. I feel like an old piece of vinyl sometimes, but you know, I keep cleaning myself up and putting a new needle on and going away. Phil Deep, the station manager, thanks so much for joining us, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great show tomorrow on Those Are the Days, 6 o'clock until midnight on WRCO. If you're not in the area, you can stream it on the Civic Media app. We'll be back. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Appreciate it. You bet. It was fun.
Back with more after this. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Allball Show. Back to the Todd Allball Show. It is 9:50 on a Friday morning, the 27th of January, 2023. Almost a year ahead of myself there. We welcome you back. We are live from the RC in Richland Center, WRCE to be exact. What a great, see, this is, I feel like I'm home, Aaron. I love being in Madison as well. But I mean, when you got a guy like Phil, and with the conversation we just had, that could have been a conversation that we had on his front porch or stand next to a car or whatever. I mean, it's just great, right? Just two guys talking, two people talking, you know, each other 36, 37 years. And that's what makes this station so great is guys like Absolutely. Ron Fruit and Phil D and Joanne Krulotz. And I could just continue on and on. It's the staff, right? Ron's last day is going to be next Tuesday, officially like his last full-time day here at WRCO and WRCE. And we wish him all the best. And he has an open invitation to come on this program anytime he wants. And hopefully we'll still be able to get him to do some things with us from time to time. But I, again, while I'm here, just want to take a minute to thank both Ron and his wife, Beth Fruit, for their stewardship, not ownership. I'm going to call it stewardship of this jewel of a broadcasting facility of this station, these stations, WRCO and WRCE, respectively, here at Richland Center. They've done a remarkable job as owners. They've kept the focus on the community. They've invested back into the community, and they have made Richland Center and WRCO and WRCE symbiotic in their relationship. They rely on one another. You just heard Phil talk about the last segment there, literally broadcasting from a cot in a chair on top of a hill in a shack to inform the community during severe flooding, keep them safe, keep them informed. And that's the power of radio. That's what makes radio unique and special. And why I'm so very thankful that Ron and Beth have done what they have done, and to have owners like Sage and Mike Kroot take this over and continue that dedication to local community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's people like them that have inspired people like Mike and Sage to continue on that mission of just helping the community and letting them have that symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, you and I are fortunate that we work at the flagship station in Madison. So we're around the ownership a lot. We hear them talking in the hallways, they'll say something. And I've expressed to these guys up here that both Sage Weil and Mike Crew are CEO and president, respectively. They admire what's happening here in Richland Center, and we're basically trying to take the blueprint from the Richland Center stations and recreate that across the state, that connection to the community, local high school sports, coverage of local news, keeping people informed, and doing it in a way that doesn't take it necessarily a partisan bend, but just spreading the truth. And letting people know what's out there, and then they can decide for themselves. So many thanks to Ron and Beth Fruit for their years of stewardship here. We wish them all the best in the retirement coming up next week, but we're going to try our best to keep getting them back on once in a while. Today, Aaron, not only Friday, we're going to talk about this with Phil last segment. I forgot. It is National Chocolate Cake Day. Did you know this, Eric?
I did not. But that might change my afternoon plans.
Right? I didn't go. In full disclosure, I have to give my mother credit here. She helped us out yesterday. Went to Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, a fine sponsor here at WRCE, WRCO. They're downtown Richland Center. They do a great job. This is our mission at Civic Media, to talk about local, right? And our friend Jason Hafman's best line, buy local. And so we went to Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe and got this beautiful chocolate ganache cake. Can I get it out of the box here? I once dumped a chocolate cake at a birthday party on the Capitol Square for my friend Kurt Kohler's birthday. Dumped it right upside down. We ate it anyway. But I know. But look at this. Here it is for those looking on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. Look at that. A beautiful chocolate cake for National Chocolate Cake Day. So we're going to cut into this. Maybe I'll see if I can save you a piece, Aaron, and bring it to you back. But Sunnyside Bakery here in Richland Center, we thank them for their wonderful job there, helping to celebrate National Chocolate Cake Day. Also, National Fun at Work Day. How about that?
I mean, that's every day here, really. Like,
look at that. It's every day at Civic Media, right? It's Fun at Work Day.
And just like you guys were talking about, I feel like if you're the kind of person who's going to stick around at Civic Media, you are the kind of person who loves radio, and you're here because you want to be.
Absolutely. And I think I know that we, each and every one of us that's here, love doing it and love talking about it. Want to encourage you, wherever you are at today, to enjoy your local community here at Richland Center. It's going to be pretty easy to enjoy the day, as our snow is going to be tapering off. Taking a quick check of weather here. Some patchy snow, some patchy blowing snow going around. 1 or 2 inches of accumulation possible when all is said and done. Otherwise, a high of 32. Tonight, a little bit of snow continuing, a low of 11, and a high tomorrow of 18. 70% chance of snow in Richland Center tomorrow. Maybe 1 to 3 inches additional accumulation possible. Up in Bull Falls Radio, Wausau territory, today some more snow, a blowing snow, maybe 1 inch of snow possible in Wausau. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 8. And tomorrow, Saturday, 20% chance of light snow, not much accumulation, a high of 14. Then going over to Amory, beautiful Lake Air Radio Land in northwest Wisconsin. Some snow and patchy blowing snow today, around of 1 inch of accumulation possible. Tonight, mostly cloudy, blustery, and mostly cloudy tonight in Amory, and a low of -2, below 0. And then for tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy and a high of 9 degrees. Had the big $1 million giveaway, Aaron. Is Luke in? Is he around yet this morning? We should bring Luke Mathers in, because I think he has the numbers. I want to see who's has to buy who the 6-pack of craft beer.
Ooh, he's not in just yet. I'll have to send him a message.
He's not in yet?
See if he plans on coming in, or maybe he's hiding.
Maybe he's hiding. That's exactly right. For those of you who don't know, we had $1 million giveaway. And I want to take a minute to thank everybody who tuned in. We gave away $1 million worth of ads. And I'm not sure exactly what time the $1 million was up, but it did not last the entire day. You guys were fantastic. We appreciate all of you who sent in applications and said you heard it on the Todd Allball Show.
Yeah, we're find out in the next couple of days here.
Yeah, you'll find out. You'll be notified whether you are one of the award grant winners. Your chance at free advertising. And then we had this internal bet with our friend Luke Mathers, a co-host of Dueling Tangents with Brian Kelly in the afternoons at 2 o'clock on most of the Civic Media stations, with the exception of WXCO in Wausau, where it's the Chad Holton Show every afternoon. But Luke and I, this week's Tuesday Tangents, we bet a 6-pack of Wisconsin craft beer on which show would get more hits. And so last I heard, Aaron, yesterday, we did very well in the morning. We started I'm not going to say we were in the lead of all the shows, but we were near the top. Now, the problem is that Luke's show is in the afternoon and then Kurt's show. So I'm not sure if we held off for the afternoon, but we will find out and we will let you know. We're going to come back on the other side of the hour, hour number 3. We'll have Sean Murphy Lopez. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.